Radio, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, but today I am truly happy to welcome a special guest. He is the lead singer for Pretty Maids. He is Ronnie Atkins. Ronnie, how are you?
I'm fine, man. I'm fine. Good spirit. Sun is shining outside, so what could be better?
That's very true. I mean, I guess the only thing that could be better nowadays is actually being able to go out on tour and stuff like that. But I know that you've had that of course, your health scare, and thankfully you're on the way out of that. So when would you be planning on going back on touring?
Well, you know, it's very difficult for me to say, you know, because I mean, basically we had a whole tour ready to go. It was never announced, but we were supposed to. We had a big European tour scheduled in January and some dates in February, and we were meant to play all this summer, you know, doing all the festivals, because we have a brand new album out called, well, it's not brand new, it came out in November, right, on Dress Your Madness, and we haven't played a song from it live yet, you know, so that's a big bummer. But I mean, now we got some. I mean, I have dealing with the cancer shit and then all this coronavirus on top, you know. So who can predict? I don't know. I mean, I really seriously don't know. It's everything is a little bit in limbo right now. So because nobody knows what's going on. But I have a dream to go back on stage as soon as possible, God willing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's the goal of so many people right now. But of course, one of the reasons that we're here to talk to you today is because of you have the Made in Japan Future World Live 30th Anniversary CD, DVD, Blu-ray that came out, and I mean, it's fantastic. I watched it, and I mean, the thing that I get about you guys, which I love, and I mean, I've been listening to Pretty Maids for, you know, since just prior to Future World being released. But it's one of those cases where you can see just the veteran stage presence and just how much you enjoy being out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the driving force, is the love of music, you know. I mean, you're kind of fortunate when you can still make a living out of something you dreamed about doing when you was 10 years old, right? Because that's the way it is, really, especially for me and Ken. I mean, I think for everybody, this is a dream come true. I mean, the music scene, everything, times have changed. You don't sell all the CDs and vinyls and stuff that you used to do. You can't live from physical sales, but you can go out on the road. Nobody can take that away from you, you know. So, and what you originally wanted to do back in the day was to, the first thing I remember when I was a kid was to create my own music, go into the studio, record it, go on stage and play it live. That's been the motivating factor all through my life. And I'm glad you're saying it, because I hope that people still feel or think that's the way it is, because you can't really fool an audience. So I'm happy, and I'm very happy about the reception the album has had so far. You know, I'm just sad we can't go and do it for real right now.
Yeah, because one of the things that I really got, and of course, I mean, you think about the COVID world and that kind of thing, but like, you know, just seeing the amount of effort that you put into it, and I mean, by like song number two, you're already drenched in sweat, and you know, and it's just like, for me, when I look at a singer and stuff like that, it's just like, I can see how much effort you're putting into the show.
Well, I got to say, I had enormously, I was so hungover that night, that phone on. Actually, it was my birthday the day before we recorded that show, so I was a little hungover. But, I mean, no, seriously, no shit. I mean, yeah, I always go on stage and give 100, man. That's what I did all my life, you know. We never really came out with a huge, you know, theatrical production or anything like that. We can't afford it, man. So we just got to, you know, kick some ass, you know, have a good time with the audience. And that's what we always went for. It really is.
Well, and you don't, and a band doesn't have to go with a huge production. I mean, obviously, there's bands like Kiss that do, but when you think about a band that can do the job, has great music, and is able to just get out on stage and be there, but, you know, I want to see you guys, and I think that's the difference. Like, there's some bands that you can see up on stage, but it's just like, okay. But you guys, when you're on stage, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm glued. I don't want to look away.
No, I don't. I mean, when you're on, you know, and it just happens. But it's just very natural, really. You know, I still feel like I, it doesn't matter when if I'm playing in front of a 200 people or 20,000 or 50,000 or whatever, it's a big major festival or whatever it is, you know. I always had this thing before I go on stage, I feel I have to go to the toilet, you know, and stuff, which I also do sometimes. But, you know, I still feel like having butterflies in my tummy, as you say, or I guess you say that in America as well, right? I still have that feeling before I go on stage. These days, I kill the worst of it with a gin tonic, you know, but that's it, you know. And then I just go in there and everything just from the first two songs, you know, everything just happens. You get the crowd going and it became, I want people to go away from the concert and say, okay, we felt like we were a part of this. You know, that is the main thing for this band. It's always been, really has.
Well, and then of course you and Ken have been together since the beginning, which is fantastic. So, I mean, you know, what is it like to have worked with the same guy for so long in that regard and so many, you know, like for so many albums and so many years?
It's been horrible, man. It's been horrible. No, I mean, we have a long history together, you know. It's been like almost 40 years and we always, I mean, we have our ups and downs, you know, but we're also, we talk regularly and we share the same sense of humor and we have the same passion for music. So it's kind of natural. I mean, there's not a lot of bands that goes on for such a long time. So we get by, you know, and it's been fun and we got a lot of stories to share and stuff like that. And as I said, a lot of history. And we're still doing it. I mean, when we did the last album, Dress Your Madness, I think it's a real good Pretty Mates album. So it means that we could still pull it off, which is great. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is an excellent album. I was just listening to it again just before talking to you, just to kind of refresh my mind on it. Now,
right.
One of the interesting things is that when you go to Future World and then of course you fast forward to Dress Your Madness, like what do you think the evolution of Pretty Maids has been along that way, like from Future World to the latest album?
Oh man, I think up through the, I mean, I'd like to put the band in three different eras. I mean, like you got the 80s era with albums like Future World, Red Hot and Heavy, Future World, Jump the Gun, that's where we identified ourselves, that's where we found our sound and our signature and that kind of stuff, you know. And then there was a long period in the 90s up until, actually in the 19th and up until the album Pandemonium. And in all that time, it was a difficult time because there were so many musical trends that came and went. And I think we just more or less tried to stay on the same path, kind of. And then what was really interesting was when we did the Pandemonium album back in 2010, we released that, we recorded it in 2010 as well. And we teamed up with the producer, Jacob Hansen, and we did things differently. He came in with a new set of ears and we started detuning the guitars. And basically we just had the desire to play again because we didn't have that for a couple of years where we just did some festivals and stuff in between, but didn't really do much. So that's the third era I'm talking about. That's from 2010 up until now. And that's been absolutely amazing because all the old fans are still coming along, but also there's a new generation of fans coming to our concerts and buying our albums and stuff like that. So that's great. But basically, I think somehow it's just still the same formula. And that is, you know, a good song is a good song. We were not the kind of band that did like 20 songs and then, or 25 songs and then picked 10. We wrote those 10, 12 songs and that was it. But we didn't want to release it until we were satisfied ourselves. Of course, in the aftermath, there's always a couple of things. Oh, I'd like to change this and that, you know. But the key word is write some good music. Write a good song. A good song is the key word, I think. Good music. Something people can relate to.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's the one thing that I will say about your discography is that I mean, it's incredibly consistent. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Like, you are constantly releasing good albums with good songs.
And we do our best.
And you do, yeah, and you do sound like Pretty Maids. And so, I mean, and when you speak about the idea of, like, maintaining the old fans and gathering new fans, I think that is one of the best ways to do that, is just to be able to continue making great music that the old fans are going to be able to listen to and say, like, ah, I see what I love from Pretty Maids in there, but they're adding a little bit new on top of it. So
But that's so cool. I mean, because I've seen it actually a lot of times during the last 10 years or so, you know, when we go to concerts and you see some of the old fans come with their kids, you know, maybe 16, 18, 19, 20 years old. That's cool, man. That's just great. That makes me happy. And that means that we must have done something right.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, for sure.
What is also funny is that the new kids then go back and pick up on the old stuff, you know, like the Future World album and stuff like that. So that's awesome. I'm humbled, man. I'm honored about that, to be honest.
Oh, that's fantastic. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask about making this video and, of course, performing Future World in its entirety, you know, I've talked to other bands and they talk about some albums and how there's some songs where like, it's not easy to play. Like, it requires things that so it wasn't necessarily meant to be played live, but it's on an album. So what were the logistics then of performing Future World in its entirety?
Well, I mean, we played some of these. I mean, Future World is absolutely the biggest commercial success we ever had, you know, and it was in the good old 80s, right? So, I mean, we played songs like Future World, I mean, which for me is one of the best songs we've ever done. Still to this day, I enjoy playing that song. I can't say that on about every Pretty Maid song, but... Well, that one in particular is always because I think it's very, very, very much Pretty Maid. You know, it's got a good riff, good melodies and stuff like that. That was it, you know. And we played songs like Love Games, Yellow Rain, We Came to Rock. We played all through the years, you know. But there were songs we never played before. A song like Long Way to Go was the first time we played it when we did these anniversary, Future World anniversary revival gigs. So... But the thing is, it was pretty easy to do it. It wasn't a very big challenge for us. And the thing is, I can still sing those songs at the same key and stuff like that. Fortunately, knock, 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 you know. And so that was great, you know. I mean, there's probably a lot of the songs we'll never play again, you know. I mean, we played the songs through the years. Sometimes we took a song like Needles in the Dark, put it in the set, but songs like Long Way to Go, Loud and Proud and stuff like we haven't. Long Way to Go, we never played back then. Loud and Proud, we played on the Future World tour, as far as I remember. But and Rodeo, we also played a lot of times. So it wasn't that big a challenge. It was just a matter of two or three songs that we had to rehearse, actually.
So then, how is it? I mean, of course, there's about five more songs on the album that you chose. Like, how is it in your discography? Do you choose the five songs that kind of go on with it?
I mean, it was difficult, you know, because the thing is that we played two different sets when we did this thing in Japan in November 2018, and we actually played a lot of songs that we haven't played for many, many, many years, especially for the Japanese. So I don't know why we just picked those songs. When you're talking about the rest of the songs that's on the album, right?
Yeah, Mother of All Lies, Kingmaker, Bullseye, Little Drops of Heaven.
We put on some of the songs, like some of the songs from Kingmaker was never released live. That's why we put on Kingmaker and Bullseye and Mother of Lies was never out live. It wasn't on any of our previous albums. So I think that's how we looked at it. And like Little Drops of Heaven is a standard classic in the set today, ever since we did it, you know. So, but I mean, you know, about picking the set list is always, people have different opinions, you know, and it takes a little bit of diplomacy sometimes to to get to there, you know. So yeah.
What is it then that because I mean you've released other live albums, like what is it that you look for from the sound of a live album?
Try to make it first of all, make it sound good, you know. Make it feel authentic somehow, you know, and I think Jacob Hansen did a very good job with this one doing that. First and foremost, I'm not the biggest fan of doing DVDs and stuff because I hate watching myself visually. And I got to say, in this album, I didn't take much interest in it. I wasn't much a part of it, let me put it that way, because this all happened while I was sick, you know, just when I was diagnosed with lung cancer and going to treatment. So actually, our keyboard player, Chris Laney, was pretty much in charge of this. I mean, I gave it a go and stuff, and But I didn't participate much in this, to be honestly. But I remember the only thing I went in before my surgery because I said if I'm gonna change anything, and there was a verse that I forgot to sing, you know, on one of the songs. I think it was Loud and Proud or something. But it was just something I had to do. And I said I got to go in and do this because I don't know if I'll be able to sing again, you know. So I fixed that. But how much has been fixed? I don't really know. I don't think a hell of a lot, really. But I haven't been much a part of creating this thing. I got to give Chris Laney credit for that. But he also loves it. He's an old fan, you know.
Yeah, well, and I mean, so that's interesting. You know, you talk about having a band, and one of the members is, you know, I mean, you have a couple of. You know, I mean, you have a few not original members, obviously, but like having a fan in the band, I mean, what is that dynamic like?
Well, he's just, no, I mean, he's a super cool guy, man. I love him. But yeah, he's a fan. It's weird to get somebody in the band, actually, to begin with. But I mean, it was great, you know, because, you know, he know more about the band than I do, you know? And more about me than my wife. he's great. He knows the band's history, he knows all the songs and everything, you know, so it was pretty easy to get him into know the songs and rehearse them and stuff like that, and he's just got a heart for this. He's got a big heart for being a part of this, and absolutely he's a motivator, man. So that he's been doing a great job, absolutely.
Yeah, and those things are great. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, of course, you know, to maintain a career of that long without having some band members come in and out, for sure. So I mean,
oh, and you got to sack somebody and get some new blood in, otherwise you'll go. I mean, no, he's a great asset, absolutely.
Well, it's funny because like I've been wanting to talk to you to Pretty Maids and you for a while because like Pretty Maids is kind of burned into my mind, my lexicon, because the pro wrestler Chris Jericho, and I know of course he's a lead singer of Fozzy, he used to live in Calgary, and so I worked in a music store, and he came in, and at the time I was playing Future World, and that is actually what kind of caused us to have a friendship from that moment. So it was okay. Kind of like, it's Pretty Maids is burned into my mind for that reason, and it's Future World. So I found it quite ironic that here I am talking to you about Future World. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, man. But that's, I mean, as I said, Future World was definitely the biggest. I mean, back then we had major releases in America and Canada, and Future World is by far the most well-known album by Pretty Maids, and it's a milestone in our career. Absolutely, I think we've done a lot of good stuff since, you know, and especially over the last 10 years. But Future World was in the 80s. We were on MTV and everything, you know. Things have changed a lot since then, you know. Everybody knows that. So, but I'm glad that album is a part of our legacy, because it's still to this day a very important album. That album in particular is the reason why we can still do so many gigs as we can all over the world, in Germany and stuff like that, you know. It's considered a classic in hard rock, heavy metal, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. And any which way you turn it, it's a classic for us, for this band, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, we couldn't do a Pretty Maids show without playing that song, Future World. I can't believe it. I don't think we ever did it, actually. I'm not sure. I don't think we have. Maybe one or two gigs. I don't know. Otherwise, I think we played that song on every concert. I mean, not the concerts before Future World.
that would be something, yeah.
Oh, that's a good excuse, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you think there's any other albums that you would consider doing an anniversary and playing the entirety of the album?
Nah, we never talked about it. I mean, it's like those. Well, we did it with Red Hot and Heavy when that has a 20. Was that a? Let me see. Must have been 25th. 25th anniversary in 2010, we played that in its entirety. We could also do that. But we never considered any other albums. We never considered doing it before them, apart from those two albums, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we just played one show with Red Hot and Heavy, I think, in Copenhagen. So
then, you know, I mean, this, of course, being in Japan, and I know that Japan is such a huge area for you, and I mean, it's fantastic. Do you think about, you know, trying to potentially, you know, like go back to the US and that kind of thing, do more North America, or is it just kind of the focus on the areas that you know are working for you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm 100% sure that a band would like to go to America, you know. But I mean, everything. All this cancer thing taught me one thing is that don't take things for granted. The things for me is that the scans might have been looking good, you know. But I mean, I'm still pretty much. I'm like an antelope beyond the savannah, you know. You never know what's going on. I'm not home safe by any means. It's lung cancer. The statistics. I can't really plan too much out of the future, you know, but yes, I dream that we'll go there one day. You know, that absolutely. No, but right now nobody knows anything about because of this virus, and you know, and that I really had hoped so much that I could maybe do a couple of festivals in August, you know, but now that's up in the air, right? So yeah, it's a bummer.
Now, how do you think your voice has held up through everything? Has there been any issues?
I've lost like 20% of lung capacity. I just did a recording. I don't know if you've seen it. We did. Chris Laney has got this project called At the Movies, and I actually did this for various reasons. But one of the most important reasons, I did a version of We Don't Need Another Hero. You can check it out on YouTube, and it's with musicians. Bruce Kulick is on, playing the solo, and there's people from King Diamond, Hammerfall, and some old Pretty Mates members and stuff. Check it out. It's called At the Movies. It's a great project. And I went into the studios just like 2 weeks ago, and my voice is still there. So I'm really happy. I wasn't too sure 3 months ago. I was dealing with a lot of coughing and stuff like that because of the radiation I had and radiotherapy and from the surgery itself. And I have some struggling with some pains as well, but I can be medicinized for that. But I wasn't too sure about my voice, but I can guarantee you 100% my voice is absolutely good again.
Oh, well, I mean, and that's great because I mean that's the bonus, right? I mean, by the time this is just kind of giving you that extra time to recuperate, to heal, and you know, hopefully everything can be right back to 100% by the time you're able to go out.
Yeah, I hope so. That is what we all hope for and dream about. Absolutely. But you never know with this motherfucking disease, to be honest, you know. You never know.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. I mean, you're in the start of that 5-year period of the checkouts and all
Exactly.
that stuff.
I'm in the start of it, you know, and you never know. You're getting. I got to live my life in stages right now, you know, because I mean, in 2 months from now, I'll have the next scan. You know, the last scan was okay. The one before was not so good. So it's like, and I'm in immune therapy all the time right now. You know, every third week, you know, at the moment. So I mean, it's not really over, but I feel good now. I'm in good spirit and everything, you know. And I just got to learn to deal with that. My life is a new reality, and I have to deal with it the way. I don't want let want that shit to supersede my quality time, if you know. So let's see what happens, man. I'm positive, and I'm hanging in there, and I'm not ready to go. No fucking way.
Absolutely. And that's awesome. And of course, I know we wish you all the best. And so right now I know my time is about up with you, but please tell all the fans where they can find Made in Japan and Pretty Mates.
Well, where they can find it, hopefully in the record stores. I don't know, on the internet or whatever, you know. Actually, do they sell CDs and vinyls in record stores? Well, they do some places here, you know. But get it on the internet whatsoever, and I hope that we'll be in America or Canada, whatever, you know, to play there at some point, hopefully next year, whatever. What do I know? Hard to predict, but we would love to.
No doubt. Well, otherwise we'll make an effort to get over to Denmark to see you, and I think that would be fantastic. But Ronnie Atkins, Pretty Maids, love the band. Really enjoyed talking to you, and of course, wish you nothing but the best in the future, and certainly all the best with your health. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad, man. Take care, man. Thank you.
All right, will do. Bye now.
All right, Brad. Bye-bye.
Wow! Wow! Wow!